When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Aaron Camaro and Chris Sinzak.
What's new? New noise. That's what's new. Welcome to the Decibel Geek Podcast. My name is Aaron Camaro, joined as always by my main man right here, the newscaster of metal, Chris Sinzak. Yeah. How's it going, man?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be back here recording again. We've been on a roll, having a lot of fun. Last week was a blast.
Yeah, that was a great episode with Troy Lucetta from Tesla.
So today, you know, after something big like that, we're going to something else that people always seem to really dig, and that's the new noise. And if you don't know, that's just basically Chris playing rock and roll newscaster for us, and he's going to tell us about some news and some big happenings going on in our world of rock and metal.
Yeah.
You think this episode's going to be a little Kiss-centric?
Well, it kind of can't be avoided at this point.
No, right? It definitely can't. So before we get into all that craziness, let's take care of our business. And what we like to do is read our Facebook recommendations, iTunes reviews, and Podchaser reviews. Is Podchaser a thing? Is that still going on?
It's still going on, but we've been stuck at a certain amount of reviews, so we need more. Podchaser.com, look up Decibel Geek, and leave a damn review.
I was starting to get a little worried for Podchaser. It's like, where have they been? Well, it's people aren't leaving reviews there. You can do that.
Yeah.
All right, but we do have a couple of great ones, recommendations and reviews. Let's start with iTunes. It goes a little something like this, 55, and I still listen to rock and metal. Thank you for the best rock/metal podcast I've heard in a long time. I learn something about the music I love every time I listen. Again, thank you. That's a 5-star Apple review. It comes to us from Mike with some numbers behind it. He's right here in the USA. Good one, man.
Yeah.
I like it.
Thanks very much.
And then, let's see, oh yeah, we do have a Facebook recommendation here, and it is from Lou Mavs. He recommends the Decibel Geek Podcast, and here's the reason why. Decibel Geek Podcasts are one of the few podcasts I listen to due to the quality of the hosts and the original content they release on a weekly basis. Aaron and Chris are two fans who have incredible knowledge, love, and respect for the subject matter they discuss, and it shows. I enjoy listening to them at my leisure when driving to and from work, and I'm very grateful for the music they've discussed on the show, including making me revisit Dio Strange Highways LP. Yeah. Hey, we're doing our job. Keep up the great work, guys. I am forever grateful for Decibel Geek Podcast. Lou Mavs.
Thank you, Lou.
Right there. Awesome recommendation.
He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, he does. I like that a lot.
Awesome. Other favorite people, Geeks of the Week. These are the people that shared on Facebook and retweeted on Twitter. Last week's Albums Unleashed, Tesla Mechanical Resonance with Troy Lucetta.
That was awesome. Awesome. I can't even express to the listeners. I'm sure the listeners can hear it through the podcast how much fun we had and how great it was to hang out and hear these stories from Troy. But man, it was something else.
It was great and had so much great feedback. Thank you all for the kind words you've shared with us on it. Just seemed like it took a lot of people back to their childhood when they heard the
album. Totally, yeah.
So you're very happy for that.
Geeks, us too.
Geeks of the Week this week are Dave Shirt, Andrew Jacobs, Baco, Matt Ashcraft, Scott Cooper, Pam Shuey, Anthony Britt, Otto Erlen Gregerson, Jody Cook, Ross Fiker, Joe Royland, Sit and Spin with Joe, Simon Catt, David Cathy, Joseph Capone, Jay Shabluski, Jeffrey Mendenhall, Sean Cullen, Clint Francis, Craig Cohen, Greg McGlone, Shane Hebert, Todd Cunningham, Shay Hargett, Bill Elam, Derek Laba, Ray Kuhn, Matt Porter, Steve Wright, Kevin Williams, Aaron Baker, Mark Alden Taylor, Freeform Rock Podcast, Denver D. Serrano, James West, Rodney Dixon, Kenneth Roy, Decibel Geek TV, Andy LaFon, Rob Webb, Mike Parnell, Growing Up Rock, Rodney Barrington, Sean Franklin, Pep Pep, Christopher Stokes, Shane Hebert, Daniel Lee, Bipolar Billy, Armando Serna, Eladio, Focus on Metal, and, of course,
the Mooger Fooger. Yeah, those are our people, our Geeks of the Week. They shared last week's episode, and if you want to become an honorary Geek of the Week and hear your name included on this prestigious list, all you got to do is share and retweet this week's episode, New Noise.
Yes.
So you ready to get into it?
Yeah, these are we like doing these because basically we get to kind of kick back and just share our thoughts on stuff. And,
we're just a couple of rock fans, you know.
What do we start with on this?
I guess start at the top, right? We start with Kiss. Kiss is back, man. They played Vancouver the other night.
Yep. New show.
Yeah,
humongous
man.
Stage show.
I got to see the video of Detroit Rock City, you know, the opening song. Holy shit, you know, what a stage.
It's pretty impressive. I definitely have to give the band credit for doing something different this time.
And they come riding down on the things, and then they step off the pods, and then the pods go back up and become part of the video display.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's pretty cool. It kind of reminds me a tad bit of the Metallica show I saw recently.
Yeah, because it's got the things that dropped up and down, right?
A lot of, like, hydraulic lifts on video screens and stuff. And
We talked about that on Torpedo Dudes a couple of weeks ago about, you know, a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
Boy, were they right.
They were. Yeah, that's pretty impressive stage show. I've been pretty wowed by what I've seen so far on YouTube from it.
Sam the Serpent.
And Sam, that's my favorite thing that's got brought back, with Sam the Serpent.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And a guy named David Tognoli P, who does Kiss replica costumes. He also built Gene's costume for this tour. He's the one who put that together, and I read online that he had like 8 days notice to put that whole thing together.
Wow.
So he rebuilt Sam the Serpent.
See, when the end of the road tour is over, that guy can just keep making them. I'd like to have a couple of those to have up on my front porch on the patio, right? How cool would those be in front of your house?
What would your wife say to that?
Too late. They're already put into place.
Right. Just need a couple of the Peter Criss cats on there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm happy to see that. I guess my only real gripe is I was hoping for the real lighted Kiss logo to return.
Yeah, because at first when that video came up, I said, awesome, it's back. And then I realized it's not. It's part of the screen. But for a second there, I thought they brought back the real sign.
But to give credit, it looks like they have definitely mixed it up on what's showing on the video screens. It's a lot different.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm into it, but
it's cool, man. You can always count on Kiss when they come out and say this stage is gonna blow your mind. You know, they're not joking.
No,
when they're saying we're gonna show the rest of these bands that have been doing kind of these things how it's really done, what a true, you know, musical experience, what a extravaganza should be. You know, and that's Kiss. That's what they've always been. You know, and David, they're backing it up.
And there's Paul Stanley's thing for Love Gunny flies out to the back of the arena, and it's a bridge that goes all the way across the back of the arena.
Yeah.
It's like a plexiglass star that he stands on.
Oh, cool.
And does Love Gun in it. I think it goes up and down and shoots lasers. So between that and then also the cherry pickers near the end of the show that Gene and Tommy get on, they actually hover out all the way over the crowd to the back of the arena.
Oh, wow.
So we'll actually get to see some of this stuff up close.
Them.
I know.
Yeah, we're going to be up in the nosebleed seats, but we'll be high-fiving Gene Simmons.
Well, and with the scale of what I've seen on video for the show, I'm kind of glad we're going to be in the back because you're going to get a whole like a full vantage point of everything. It's almost one of those where you don't want to be too close to the stage.
No, you don't want third-degree burns.
Right. There's a lot of pyro. There's like sideways fire shooting out of the drum riser at certain
Pretty
parts.
Cool.
And like fireworks going off that are in the different Kiss colors, too. I saw that on Rock and Roll All Night at the finale.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because you got to see the whole video.
Yeah,
if you
go on YouTube, somebody filmed it from the front row. Like, they filmed the entire Vancouver show, and it's like high def and everything.
Nice.
It's really nice. It's really cool.
I got to check that out.
One of the better bootlegs I've ever seen.
It's exciting.
So that's the exciting good news with Kiss. So let's dive into the negativity now.
What about the set list?
About what you would expect.
That's kind of what I was thinking, too. You know, I seen that Hide Your Hearts in there.
Yeah,
I didn't really expect that to be.
No, I had a feeling. They've done that on the last few tours, so I kind of figured they were going to do that one. But nothing really surprising.
Eric Singer singing Beth, right?
With a piano, too.
Oh, wow.
Apparently he comes out and plays the piano and sings it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's different. But because
he's wanted to do that for a long time, right?
But there's all this online debate about, you know, is Eric really playing and all this, and is it a real, you know.
See, that's the can of worms you open when, you say, okay, you know, some of Paul's vocals are going to be recorded.
Oh, no, not some.
Is it all?
All. I mean, it looks pretty obvious to me.
Yeah.
And if you listen to, the Kiss Cruise performance, like the vocal track. It's the same vocal track.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty confident that Paul's lip syncing on the whole show.
See, and that's where that comes from then, because if there's that, then what else is going
on?
Well, you
know,
you always got to wonder is who else's vocals are recorded, you know?
Well, there's even an instance now where Gene does it in the show, it looks like, because at the end of War Machine, you know, at the last few lines, he's like, because I'm a war machine. Uh-huh. And at the very last one time he says that, at Vancouver, he turns away to go get the sword, and you hear his voice coming through the speakers.
It's magic.
Yeah. He can throw
demonic
his, he can
magic.
Throw his voice.
But, I suppose, hey, wait a minute. You're recording your vocals. Why can't I record mine, too? Hey, if we're pre-recording our vocals, you know what that means? Fits Like a Glove is back in the set list, baby. Paul Stanley's
cool.
Like, no fucking way.
Right. But then that makes you wonder, like, what's the motivation for that? Is it Paul saying, well, I have to do it, therefore you have to do it? I don't know.
I wouldn't say you have to. I would think it's probably the other way around. If you get to do it, I should get to do it, too, because I want to sound great.
No,
but Gene doesn't sound bad.
Gene's always been hugely against lip-syncing.
Yeah.
He used to come out in interviews and bag on people for doing it.
But that was the thing to do back then.
Well, wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
Like, just a few years ago he was saying that.
Yeah, how things
And he
change,
was making cracks against Paul during his Australian solo tour. You know, I almost think he is against it, but, like, I think he just had to get on board to keep the peace, maybe.
Huh.
Just speculation. I don't
know
anything.
It's like when you're doing something bad, when you're a kid and you're smoking a joint and your friend's sitting there and you go, like, you got to hit it too now.
Right.
You know, well, I don't want to. You have to.
Yeah. I'm not going to die alone.
Huh.
I don't know. It's interesting, but...
I mean, I'm not totally against it because at least... I mean, what's the alternative? You know, you got Paul Stanley up there killing himself night after night and wrecking his voice and not sounding great. You know? I'd rather see people... So you got to figure there's probably a lot of people that are seeing Kiss for the first time on this tour, probably, young people.
Yeah.
You know, and so you want Kiss to be well represented. So, you know, I'm not against it. I want Kiss to sound good. I want the legacy to live on. I want young people that are going to see Kiss the first time to get to see Kiss and have a great experience and not go, I seen Kiss once. Their show was amazing. But, man, they couldn't sing for shit.
Right.
You don't want that.
Here's my view. I think it's one of those things where, you know, and I've been very, very open about this for the last few years, is that I think they honestly should have hung it up a few years ago as far as touring goes. That just because, you know, once... From 2009 on, it's just been a steady decline in Paul's voice. And it's one of those things where he just keeps doing it, and it doesn't look good. But it's also one of those things like, okay, well, not doing the tour is not going to be an option. They've made their decision on that.
And they got to do it.
So as a fan, what would you rather hear? Would you rather hear him mime to tracks that sound at least halfway decent, or hear him croak through the entire set? If you're going to go. Obviously, there's people that are choosing not to go see this tour, and that's fine. I respect that. But
even you're going.
I know. I feel like such
a hypocrite.
After
you said you wouldn't.
You cannot deny
the power of Kiss.
Yeah, I got so much pressure from people to, oh, you have to go.
Yeah,
I'm going.
You have to.
But yeah, I mean, we're going for $25.
Right, true.
But it wasn't that much.
But we'll get to high five Tommy Thayer.
But it's one of those things where it's like, if it is really is the last time they play here, it's like, it's one of those things where I know if I don't go, I'm probably going to regret it.
Right.
So fuck it, I'll just go.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
We don't, you know, so
rock
there's
a roll party tonight.
There was no retirement option there, so.
No, because they could have just petered away after Monster, you know, and how great would that have been? Whatever happened to Kiss? They didn't go out in a blaze of glory. They, you know, came out with one last album. It didn't really sell all that great, and they just kind of petered away. We wouldn't want that either. How can that be the end of the legacy?
Well, I was in my office and finishing watching the Vancouver show, and my wife came in, and we're watching, you know, how YouTube will just sort of roll into different videos after you finish it. Well, it rolled into them doing Detroit Rock City on Letterman a few years ago.
Yeah.
And Paul's doing a real live vocal on that one. And we're listening. We look at each other and like, maybe tracks are a better option because he sounded so bad.
Right.
It's just like, this is heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking.
You know?
That's the thing about it. You know, it's not, we're not making fun of Paul Stanley by no means, you know.
No,
we're such big fans that it's a thing. You know, you talk about it. You wonder, you know, and what can you do? You know, and you want Kiss, like I said, to go out in a blaze of glory. And that's exactly what they're doing with the end of the road tour. And, you know, if that's truly the end, then... You know, well, that's great. You know, that's the stage show is freaking amazing. They threw a couple of oddballs in the set list. You know, they got to play. We've discussed it a million times. Yeah. The Kiss set list. Everybody could come up with their own.
Sure.
You know, that would be perfect for them. You know, but again, Kiss wants to go out there. They want to play the hits. Mm. They want to leave that lasting legacy on the next generation of fans. That, because think about it, little kids that parents are bringing their kids to this show. Because they were fans of Kiss. And they want, they say, this is the end. If I don't take my kid to see Kiss, they're going to grow up not knowing what it was. And these kids are going to go see this and be completely blown away. They're never going to forget it. You know, same with us, you know, when we were kids. You got exposed to Kiss. It became a part of you. All these years later, we've never forgotten it. As a matter of fact, you know, here we are talking about Kiss today. Yeah. And so that'll be the same for these kids. That's a legacy you can pass on, just like we did with our kids, just like people are doing now with their kids, with their last chance to do it. These young kids got to see Kiss in all their might and majesty so that they can tell their kids about Kiss 20 years from now.
And that's kind of echoes what our friend Toddzilla said on one of my friend's posts. You know, him and my friend and some other people were, including Craig Smith, who I know you're listening to this, because Craig's really pissed off about how they're going about the lip-syncing thing, and I get that. But Todd did make an interesting point. He said, you know, he went to a private event here in Nashville a few years ago, and Dolly Parton was performing at it.
Yeah.
And he's friendly with some of Dolly's people, like her management. So he's standing there watching next to the manager, and he notices that she's lip-syncing. And he's kind of like, he's like, dude, why is she lip syncing? This isn't cool.
Yeah.
And the guy just looked at him, he's like, Todd, she's pushing 70.
Right.
And he said it kind of hit him. And he said, as he's gotten older, and you know, Todd's a musician himself. Todd's like, I'm a failed musician. I never really amounted to much, but I can't see myself stopping performing. It's woven into your DNA. And also you have to look at the fact, like you said, there's a whole generation of Kiss fans who still want Paul to go up on stage and do this. So it's like one of those horrible decisions of, I still want to do this. All these people still want me to do this, and they want to come see me in an arena.
But can I deliver the
goods? But I can't deliver the goods. So it's one of those things where you have to make that choice. And Todd's like, it's just saying retire. That's a lot. That's easier said than done if you're just a fan. It's much harder if you're the performer having to make that decision. So I kind of... It did make sense to me, and I've softened my stance a tad on that because of that, because it's like, well, you got to put yourself in his shoes. Yeah, I know Kiss is all about making money and everything, but I don't think Paul would be continuing doing this unless he just felt like he still had to perform.
Right.
So you got to view it that way. And also, like I've said in the past, the man's given me numerous decades of great singing and great music. He doesn't owe me a damn thing. He can do what he wants.
I watched Animalize Live Uncensored for the first time in a long time, completely, like a week ago. And I'm watching it and listening to Paul and going, yeah, that's why he sounds the way he does today. Because he sacrificed himself for the 80s, you know, to kick so much ass and sing those massive notes that, you know, are unbelievable.
Probably too hard in those days.
And, you know, it's like, how can you not, you know, understand that? And so... In that respect, say thank you, Paul Stanley, because we know that you guys, as kick-ass rock stars, are probably totally in your hearts against lip-syncing. So thank you for pulling back your pride in order to deliver the show that the people buying the tickets deserve.
But, and there's always a but.
It's the devil. He's an advocate.
Well, it's one of those things. It's, The thing is, I think a lot of fans would go easier on him if he wasn't making such a mockery out of this, because he's talking in interviews like he's not doing it. And he's like, oh, I'm going to sound great this whole tour, and we sound the best we've ever sounded. And it's like, this is one of those things where elevating everything big in the press is backfiring on him.
Right.
Because people are catching all these instances of him lip-syncing.
So interviewers asking him, are you lip-syncing?
No. Nobody's had the balls to ask him that, but they're saying, you know, how do you feel about the tour? Oh, I'm going to sound great. My vocals are awesome. And blah. It's like,
Yeah, don't say that. You just say we're firing on all cylinders. Yeah, we're out to deliver the show
of all shows.
You know, we're KISS. Of course, we're going to be the best. But don't go in there being like, yeah, I know for 100% that I'm going to sound
good.
And
that's what
he said. Because I recorded the vocals 3 months ago, and I've listened to them a bunch of times, and I sound awesome.
That's essentially what he's saying, just without the I recorded.
Right.
But it's like, it's one of those things where, you kind of make yourself look like an asshole when you do that.
When you say stuff like that. Yeah,
and
you're
also
pointing things out.
And also, Paul's disparaging remarks about other members of the band over the years and how Peter can't play anymore. And you know, I'm not going to get on a stage with somebody who can't do their job. And like, well, what are you doing now? It's like, it's one of those like, well, karma's biting you in the ass right now.
Right.
So it's like, I appreciate that they're still doing a great show and everything, but there is valid arguments there. It's like, well, you're kind of making yourself look like a dick.
Right. When they're saying, you know, Ace and Pete can't play.
Yeah. Well, what are you doing?
Well, yeah, but you're doing that. So that's kind of hypocritical to say that.
Very hypocritical. Very.
Yeah.
So, and like, this is what I like about our show, though, is we're able to express I'm never going to stop loving KISS.
No way.
That will never change.
Right.
But I will call them out when I see shenanigans being pulled. I mean, it's something. If it's something you love, it's like having a best friend who's going off the rails. You love them, but you're going to say, "Hey, you're fucking up."
Right.
You know, it's what it should be about. But you know, we'll see how the tour goes on. But you know, people are of course picking out. Oh, look at that 24:36 on this video. You know, he'll move away from the mic, and his voice is still going out.
Yeah, I guess they're not professional lip syncers.
But I don't begrudge. You know, like I said, I caved and I got a ticket, and I'm going. But
and I'm sure you're going to have an awesome.
I'll have a good time. I'll make sure I have a good time.
Sure, looked like all the people at that concert were having a good time up in Vancouver.
It's an impressive stage show. How could you not have fun with that? But and it's a bunch of songs that I like.
It's a bunch of kick-ass KISS songs.
But
yeah.
So it's like, it's really what you make it, but I'm not going to shit on anybody who says this is too much and I can't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't blame you at all. You have a right to your opinion. Other podcasts will tell you you don't have a right to an opinion, but we will not do that.
We
disagree
ask
completely.
We ask for your opinions. You know, tell us what you think. When this gets posted on the Facebook, you know, get on there and make your comments. Tell us what you think.
Yeah, tell us if we're wrong.
That's what
I promise I won't ban you.
Conversation with a K.
Yeah. And KISS doesn't make me feel like I'm 12, but, you know, I still respect them.
Well, maybe the night we go see them you feel like you're 12.
Yeah.
One thing I know we're not going to be seeing is any special appearances by Ace Frehley that night, right?
I'd say that's pretty certain now what happened this week.
Hell yeah, I was kind of hoping that maybe, you know, at least you could have Ace opening for KISS.
I don't really need to read the statement on this. I mean, I think everybody listening's heard it by now, right? Or
let's be thorough with it.
All right, you got to fill time while I pull this up.
Ace Frehley rules.
Well, I have a few things to say about this statement, and they're not all complimentary of Ace.
Take it easy on him, man. Don't you know KISS tried to have him killed in the 70s?
Oh, God.
That's some traumatic stuff.
I have a correction on that, too. Somebody got their timeline out of order on that.
That's why I saw that. I was like, no, that's
it was a different decade they tried to kill him.
Yeah, I was going
to
say that it must have been closer to the time that Ace Frehley cost them millions of dollars,
no,
I would
later
guess.
Than that.
Yeah?
All right, well, I'll get to that.
Okay.
So, on January
20th... Murder and intrigue on the Decibel Geek podcast.
On January 29th, Ace's official Facebook posted this. It says, my reaction to Gene's post today. And this was off of a Guitar World interview that came out.
Yeah.
And Gene essentially said, you know...
These guys can't cut it.
Yeah, Peter and Ace had 3 chances. They blew them all.
Got fired.
They'll never be back in the band again. Are they welcome to come up and do a song or two here and there? Sure. But as far as getting back in the band, not a fucking chance.
Yeah.
So they kind of like...
Gene pretty much completely
squashed any opportunity of Ace coming back.
But again, we talked about that. Why would Ace want to go stand next to Tommy Thayer on stage?
Right.
Or next to any member of KISS when he's a mere mortal now? He's not the spaceman. He's Ace Frehley.
Right. So it says, Gene, your memory is really incorrect! Exclamation point. I was never fired from KISS.
Curly.
When I get loud, that's the caps.
All right.
I quit twice, not 3 times, of my own free will because you and Paul are control freaks, untrustworthy, and were too difficult to work with. Your slanderous remarks about my bad habits over the years has cost me millions of dollars, and now that I'm over 12 years sober, you're still saying I can't be trusted to play a whole night show. Well, that's exactly what I've been doing for the last 12 years with different configurations of the Ace Frehley band, to you and Paul's dismay. I'm also the most successful solo artist to come out of the original KISS lineup and proud of it. You and Paul have tried to derail my solo career multiple times over the years unsuccessfully. I've tried to be nice and friendly by inviting you and Paul to perform on my past albums for E1 Music. Give each of you guys one of my prize Gibson Les Paul 59 models, but today's comments have made me realize you're just an asshole and a sex addict who's being sued by multiple women, and you're just trying to sweep it all under the carpet.
I mean, that's a lot. Should we break it down? What's the first thing?
Okay. I quit Kiss twice, not three times of my own free will, because you're control freaks untrustworthy.
That's true, right?
He's never been fired from Kiss.
Because we've heard that story where they were practically begging him, please, Ace, don't do this.
And I've had a problem with Gene and Paul saying this shit for years.
For a long time, they've always said
what went down. Yeah. He left in 82 and fucked you over on your record deal.
Right, yeah.
You fired him.
Peter Criss got fired, so it's always easy to just lump it in and say, yeah, we fired Ace and Peter.
Completely different circumstances. Yep. They did not want Ace to leave the band.
No.
And then your slanderous remarks about my bad habits over the years has cost me millions of dollars, and I'm over 12 years sober. And that's another thing that I give the blame to Paul and Gene for. The guy's been sober for a long time. Quit bringing up his fuck-ups from the past. It's bullshit.
But you got to go back to how many years has this been going on? Since the 80s.
Yes.
You know? And they've always talked about that. But Ace brought a lot of that on himself, too.
Oh, I know.
Because he was a maniac, you know? And he did party way too hard back then.
But was is the key word.
And it is was. Because we're talking 12 years sober. Right. You know? He's had it together for a long time. But, you know, when they got back together for the reunion and all that back in the 90s.
He did blow it again.
Ace did blow it at that time, you know. But it's always been, you know, what is it?
So
Was it Gene and Paul driving him to drink? Or was it him drinking and just driving those two crazy? Or is probably somewhere in the middle, I'm guessing.
Hooking up with Wendy Moore and getting hooked on heroin. That was a
big one. That'll fuck things up for you.
Man, I mean, he looked like he was about near death on the farewell tour.
Yeah.
So that's kind of one where both sides get the blame.
Right, because I can understand how Gene and Paul would still feel the sting of that. You know, we gave you guys another chance. You blew it again, you know?
So that's one of those, that's where they could say,
but then it's easy because
we're not untrustworthy, you are.
Right, yeah. See, that's at a different point then where at the first time, they're begging him to stay. They don't want him to leave the band.
Right.
They get back with the reunion, and he starts fucking up real bad. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes, they've got the upper ground on this argument now because now they've got the power. We're getting paid this much. You guys are here with us out of the goodness of our heart. We didn't have to bring you guys back. You know, we could have whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And so they've got the upper hand at that point. So then it's easy for them to say, all right, enough's enough. You know, this is no fun anymore.
Mm-hmm. So then I'm also the most successful solo artist to come out of the original Kiss lineup and proud of it.
That's true. You can't argue. Yeah, nobody can argue that. Yeah, Gene Simmons has not done anything solo or Paul Stanley or Peter Criss.
Paul's album didn't do anything. His tour did okay, but no better than Ace.
No, Ace has been releasing good stuff consistently for the past many years now.
Yeah, he's certainly more prolific than those guys.
I love it.
You and Paul have tried to derail my solo career multiple times over the years unsuccessfully. I'm not sure where that's coming from.
Probably from the same old talk.
The comments,
I guess.
Yeah, maybe promoters are like, I don't want to work with you because of what Paul
because if you get the reputation of, but then again, you always hear the stories. Even Mike Tramp that time, you know, told me they'd be on tour. Oh, you were out with Ace? What's he doing? What's he like? You know, how is he playing? What are the shows like? You know, and wanting to know, you know, keeping up as if Ace Frehley's competition for him. But if that's the case, it's only competition you've created yourself out of spite, you know, and this is talking about like back in like Frehley's Comet days. Right. You've created that out of spite because of you saying Ace Frehley's a fuck up. He's a drunk. He's a druggie. You know, we kicked him out of the band, all this and that. Now you've created this narrative that you kind of got to keep up now.
Right.
You know, and so Ace is out there with Frehley's comment. Yeah, he is still partying and messing up. Uh-huh. And so, again, that's partially a little bit of both. You know, when Ace Frehley's out on tour and you hear the stories about him dumping out old duels and filling it up with beer, you know, so he can act like he's drinking non-alcoholic beer. You know, that's...
Nobody could make that up.
That's partially Ace Frehley, you know, living up to the reputation that Gene and Paul are trying their best to perpetuate for him.
So then he goes...
Living up to it.
Then he says, I've tried to be nice and friendly by inviting you and Paul to perform on my past albums.
Which is cool.
Yeah, but I mean, you could look at that the other way and say Gene and Paul did him a favor by appearing on those albums.
But it is cool of Ace to say, despite all your years of bullshit, I'd still love to get back together with you guys. And you know what? At the time, everybody was great.
Oh, sure.
You know, when it comes down to these guys and just music, if you could, like, put them together on the stage. They didn't have to see each other, any of them, beforehand. Mm-hmm. you know, and then they're up on stage, and then somebody grabs Ace and gets them the hell out of there before Gene can talk to him, before Paul can give him one of the three signs. I better not see you after the show.
That's a deep pull.
Don't step inside my aura.
Listen to our Tom Harper interview if you don't get that.
Way back in the archives.
I can't even get
Man, fine. We've heard some great Kiss stories over the years on this show.
Yes, we have. Okay. The comments today made me realize you're just an asshole and a sex addict being sued by multiple women. I don't know if that's... I mean, he is being sued by a couple of women, I think.
Is he?
Yeah, there was like the girl from Fox News that he apparently groped.
Yeah.
Like, he's been banned for life from being on Fox News now.
That's right. I remember that, of course.
And then he goes, the icing on the cake was when you groped my wife and propositioned her in Los Angeles at the Capitol Records building behind my back.
See, this... I was thinking about this in the timeline of it. So that would have been right before they left for Australia, right?
I think so. It was the very first Vault experience.
Okay.
So,
and
yeah,
then,
I mean, within
that,
a few months of that.
And that basically led to the Australian thing.
I think so.
So, because I was wondering, like, if some dude gropes my wife...
Yeah, I'm not going across the globe.
She's
going
to come right to me right then and there and say, hey, this asshole just grabbed me. But then I was thinking if, like, say it was me and some dude and me and this guy are going to, you know, go on this business venture together, and we know it's going to be big money, mm-hmm. and I've got more redecorating to do back at the house.
Right.
Maybe I don't say nothing right now because I don't want to fuck that up.
Right.
You know, let Ace go with Gene. I don't, if I say something right
now
about this.
Yeah, because she didn't tell him for several weeks, according
to
this.
Yeah, so I guess wait until he comes back, and then, I don't know, and then Ace be like, can you believe this shit? Oh, by the way, I meant to tell you.
Yeah,
this happened way back, and you'd be like, why didn't you fucking say something right then and there?
And he says,
I could have knocked his ass out right there in Capitol Records.
But then he says she was planning on pursuing a suit against you, but I told her to call it off.
I mean, I guess they'd probably, the cops would say the same thing. Why didn't you report it right away?
All right, well, let's go through the last couple of
things. Yeah, that's some weird stuff. I don't even know what to say. I guess you have to...
I have thoughts on all this. But he says, well, now the gloves are off after your terrible comments today, and I'm thinking this really may be the end of the road tour for you guys. Well, it is.
Yeah,
with,
that's well
I think
established.
You forgot to put tour in there. But without a complete and heartfelt apology, an offer to give me my old job back, and removing Tommy from the throne... that I created.
I love that.
The shit will hit the fan and there'll be no stopping it. It's on.
Oh, boy. That's, yeah. I'm all with it. You know, I don't understand the stuff with Rachel and Gene and all that because I wasn't there. I have no idea. I can't say nothing about that. The rest of the stuff, there's truth in a lot of that. But that last statement is just, it's kind of funny to me. You know,
it's
so
more than funny.
It's like a threat.
It's fucking extortion.
It's a threat of like I'm gonna what's the threat though? You know, if you don't what?
Yeah, like it's on
if
means
you,
what?
If
what are
you
gonna do?
If you don't apologize, you gotta tell them what's gonna happen. Well, I'm gonna kick your ass. Mm-hmm. If you don't apologize to me publicly, fire Tommy and hire me and put me back in the band immediately, I'm going to what? My gloves off?
I guess he's trying to make it out like he's got more damaging stuff he's going to release. I don't know.
Huh.
Here's my...
Ace Frehley writes the Gene Simmons unauthorized biography.
I don't know.
Filled with shitty stories about Gene.
Isn't Gene's biography written that way? Sorry.
To an extent, I'm sure.
But no, here's my... And this isn't even a conspiratorial thing. Here's what I think.
Conspiracy. With a K.
With a K. I think if Rachel had not been in the picture, I don't think Ace would give a rat's ass about playing with Kiss ever again. I really don't.
Is it one of those things where you're just listening to your woman tell you over and over again? That should be you.
Yep.
You were the one that built that throne. You're the spaceman. I don't understand why, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think that...
You listen to your woman do that to you long enough, you're like, fine, I'll go beat his ass, you know, if that's what it's
going
to take.
That's what I think is going on.
Yeah.
Here. And I think with Gene doing that Guitar World interview saying they'll never be in the band again, and the tour starting, and they know it's the last tour, Rachel sees that window closing going, oh my God. He's not going to get that money.
Yeah.
And this is pure speculation on my part. Any legal minds that are wanting to give me shit for this, I don't know.
But that's what
I think is going on.
Anybody that's married can kind of relate to that because your wife's job is to make sure that you make as much money as you possibly can. You
of
know,
course.
She's going to try to help you bring home the bacon, you know? And that's a woman always kind of, when you're married, they almost a lot of times work as your manager. Mm. But it's at home. You come home and you listen to it.
But I feel like, if she wasn't around, Ace wouldn't really give a shit about ever playing in Kiss again. I think he's fine playing the shows he plays, playing in the band he plays in. But, I don't think he cares that, but I think she's convinced him that where she's built him up in his head where he's like, all right, now he thinks the same way.
But she's not the only one. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of people that probably send him messages or shows he plays or meet and greets he does where everybody's coming to him going, I wish you were in Kiss. You should be on this show.
One of them's named Aaron Camaro.
I mean, yeah, but I wouldn't go to Ace and be like, yeah, I think this is bullshit.
I know, but there's
a lot of people that are.
Oh, sure.
You know? And they go to him because he's the man. You know, he's Ace freaking Frehley. He did build that throne that Tommy Thayer's sitting in.
I don't dispute that, but releasing a statement like this is not going to do him any good.
The statement's kind of silly, you know, so...
I mean, this is not going to end well for him.
Yeah, no.
It's not like those guys are going to be like, we've seen the error of our ways. Come back in the band, Ace.
Gene,
come on.
Gene, did you see what Ace wrote? What did he write? Well, I mean, the gloves are... Oh, shit. Who's going to tell Tommy? Yeah, that's probably not going to go down like
that.
They're going to look at that and be like, yeah, whatever, dude.
Do you think we'll see, like, licensed Kiss gloves come out because of this? Never miss an opportunity.
Kiss the gloves. Take them off. Put them on. Take them off.
You can play Take It Off from Revenge on the commercial.
Uh-huh.
See?
Yeah.
So I should really work for these guys. Listen to me.
Take it off. Yeah. Put him on.
Yeah. Oh, man. But yeah, it's a clusterfuck.
That's insanity, man.
it's so stupid.
Yeah, so, you know, there's no chance that, you know, I don't think Kiss would have had Ace Frehley Band open for him anyway, because you know what? I think the Ace Frehley Band's too fucking good. You know, Kiss has never been known for a long time, and they learned the lesson from Priest, and they learned the lessons from Maiden. You know, you take a good band out with you on tour, there's a good chance the fans are going to be like, oh, wow, those guys were awesome.
That explains the painter.
Right, yeah. You know, or Econoline Crush, or, you know,
Caroline Spine,
all them bands over the years that never is nearly as good as Kiss, or even had a chance of everybody walking away from that show going, Kiss was pretty good, but man, Econoline Crush, holy shit, you know? With Ace Frehley Band, you know, they're out there and they're doing what they're doing. They're playing all these awesome classic Ace tunes from Kiss, which would be a perfect situation, really, you know, if you think about it.
It doesn't have to be a competition.
But with Kiss and Ace, it's always been a competition between the two.
And that's a sad thing.
And what Ace is saying in his letter is 100% true. I don't know where it started, why it started, if it was a grudge because Ace cost them so much money, if it's just, you know, people saying to Gene and Paul so many times through the 80s. Two questions. When are you putting the makeup back on? Why don't you have Ace and Peter back in the band? And then maybe what's the new album like? You know, it's always in that order. You know, the important stuff is not the things people are asking first over the years.
Competition when you're being asked that many questions.
And that's the thing you got to kind of remember too. These people are out doing interviews and they're getting asked questions, and it's not like they're getting interviewed by Decibel Geek because they're getting asked the same fucking questions over and over again. You know, and nowadays it's Kiss is at the end of the road. This is the final time we're going to see them. Why isn't Ace and Peter in the band?
Right.
Number one off the top every time. You know, you got to figure it's at least right up there unless people are working it in. But they're asked that constantly.
Oh, sure.
And I'm sure it gets on your nerves.
It's like Rachel Bolan getting interviewed.
When are you guys getting back together with Sebastian Bach? God damn it, you know?
Well, we're even...
Never!
We're even guilty of doing it.
Yeah, totally.
I was creative about it, though.
Yeah, you were.
I was like, oh, that's a good picture of you guys in the back. Any chance we'll ever see those guys in the same room?
Right. Like, was slick.
I still love Rachel's reaction. Is it padded?
See, and the same thing with Kiss, you know, and Ace Frehley, the same thing over the years. Anytime Ace Frehley's been interviewed from 1981 on, when are you getting back into Kiss? Yeah. Why aren't you in Kiss? The other two guys, since 1981 on, where's Ace? Where's Ace? Why ain't Ace in the band? Ace in the band, you know, they've heard this shit over the years, and it breeds a competition, I think.
Yeah. Well, but there's no way it's happening now.
And it's a shame, because really that's the perfect situation. You have Ace out there playing the songs that Kiss ain't going to play. 2000 Man, Rocket Ride, Shock Me, you know, songs that are Ace signature songs. And then you get all them, and then you get Kiss. Right. So if you want some, you get happiness
for
all the fans.
You get that much more of the discography.
Exactly. Yeah. Much more happy fans. Twice as many Kiss songs in one night. The people that want the deeper tracks are going to get
that's the Ace Frehley band. Ace's band, Bruce's band, and Kiss.
Perfect.
You would have covered all eras of the band.
Perfect. But we're not going to get that.
Oh, I know.
They're not even going to let Bruce do that, I don't think.
I think probably when they play L.A., Bruce will probably get up on stage with them. I mean, I'm sure that'll happen at some point.
I just hate that for other people that aren't KISS. You know, you look at people like, I always look back, you know, it was funny at the time, the famous picture of Tupac and KISS.
Yeah.
You know, and KISS are these big giant things,
yeah.
And Tupac's this little dude.
Right.
You know, and so, like I've said a million times, nobody looks especially cool standing next to KISS. I mean, you're cool because you're there with KISS,
right.
But you're not as cool as KISS.
Right.
So even Bruce standing next to KISS, it's kind of like, bummer, you know?
No, I hope it
happens.
That
midget is an awesome guitar player.
I'm not going to think it doesn't look cool. I just hope it happens. I'd like to see it.
It should.
And if it does, they should play Tears Are Falling and let him play that extended solo.
Hell yeah.
Because I think that's... I like a lot of Bruce's solos, but that's kind of his quintessential solo for the band.
And that song was kind of a hit, so
yeah,
you know,
I mean, I think it would
not?
Go over well too.
Yeah.
But it'd probably be Hide Your Heart because that's already in the set list,
right?
But that's
I've seen Bruce
too.
Post a cool thing where he's playing the solo to Hide Your Heart.
Oh, is he?
And yeah, in tribute to that being played
well,
in the show.
That tells me even more that he'll probably end up popping up on stage.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah,
you know, he has his place.
But I think he'll be the only one. I don't think Peter will show up either.
I just wish, like we talked about on Torpedo Dudes, where. Like, you know, they could do like the super share wardrobe changes and do different eras and the stage change and, you know, different members come out for different things. That way, you know, Bruce can come out and they're all wearing like leopard print and zebra stripes and shit for like, you know,
let's hope there's not an asylum look back. We don't need to see Gene looking like fucking B. Arthur.
But, you know, at any rate, Ace is doing great. KISS is doing great.
Yeah.
Are there any other members of KISS that are doing great?
No.
Bruce is still doing great.
There's somebody
Pete's
else.
Pete's okay, I guess. Nope. I haven't heard a lot of news out of Peter Criss lately.
No, he's enjoying retirement from as far as I can tell.
Oh, wait. There's one more, isn't there? There's one more member of KISS.
Who is that guy?
Oh, man.
Eric Carr?
Of course, Eric Carr, you know. We'll never forget Eric Carr. But no, there was a dude that used to be in KISS. Mark St. John, man, he was an awesome guitar player, man. Rest in peace, Mark St. John. No, this was a guy, his name escapes me. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think like he was on, I think he played some songs on Creatures of the Night and played some stuff on Lick It Up.
Rick Derringer.
Not Rick Derringer, but I can understand why you'd think of him because he's pretty awesome too. That guy's a real American. the dude that they got after Ace Frehley quit.
Mick Fury.
No. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, no. Oh, Vinnie Vincent.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't he supposed to play a show here in Nashville coming up?
I heard something about that.
Yeah? You heard something about
Let's
that?
Let's stop playing coy. All
right. Oh, Vinnie Vincent's in the news, huh?
Yeah.
For all the wrong reasons. Of course. That's the only time he's in the news. Now...
Yeah, so I think the last time, on Torpedo Dudes, if you go on Patreon, and as cheap as a buck, sign up to get the dollar tier, Torpedo Dudes is our KISS podcast, and we've shared a lot of behind-the-scenes information about this Vinny stuff.
You know what Torpedo Dudes and the Criss and Aaron Show on Patreon.com remind me of?
What's that?
What we're doing right now.
Yeah,
These new noise episodes are basically...
week.
Big old versions of what we do for our Patreons, for our VIPs.
Right.
So get on over to patreon.com, look up Decibel Geek, and add another KISS podcast to your listening rotations.
All right, let me...
So where do we all begin? I mean, I don't even know anymore. We've talked so much about this on the Torpedo Dudes show. We haven't really talked a lot about it on actual Decibel Geek.
Yeah.
So where did we leave off with this crazy shit?
So Vinny, you know, obviously moved the shows from Memphis to Nashville.
Right.
Scheduled for February 8th and 9th. And
the people that were in Memphis were going to the Memphis show were upset because a lot of them lost money when that got canceled.
Yep.
But then it got announced that it's going to be happening in Nashville.
Right.
And some of them were excited and other ones were kind of leery and people weren't sure if it was going to happen. And then... let's see. There was the big announcement about Tony Franklin and Carmen Appice.
Yeah.
Appice? I never know how to say that guy's last name. The two brothers say their names different, I think. It's weird.
Really?
I don't know.
Yeah, they do.
You know, so that was exciting. So that makes you think something's going to happen. And then Robert Fleischman was involved, and then he wasn't involved. And then there was a different singer involved, Jim Crean, and then he's out before he's even really in. And
Vinny didn't approve of him, apparently.
Vinny didn't approve of the singer that was announced to play for the band.
Right around that time, The website that sold tickets, the link for ticket sales didn't work anymore.
Oh,
so they took, you couldn't even buy tickets to it. So then there's all this confusion and you can't buy tickets and people are like, oh boy, here we go again. And then on the Vinnie Vincent Live website, which, let me pull that up real fast, everything got taken down and then like a questionnaire form popped up and a statement.
Okay.
And this
statement
says, Vinnie Vincent show's canceled. Mr. Vincent has sent a notification letter to the promoter that he will not be performing the concert scheduled for February 8th and 9th in Nashville. While we cannot discuss the terms of the contract due to a confidentiality clause within the contract, we are shocked at this development. Well, you're the one. And it is unfortunately beyond our control. The matter has been turned over to our attorney. As they say, it's now in the hands of the lawyers, and we will update you as we can. Please check back regularly, as the site will be up the only source for official updates. In the meantime, every ticket and meet-and-greet order will be automatically refunded in full, and you will receive a confirmation email of your refund before or by February 10th.
Who's saying this?
Well, it's put out like an official statement, and they mentioned the promoter, but I'm pretty sure Derek Christopher, the promoter, put this up there.
Okay.
So that comes out. Basically, Derek's saying, you know, Vinny backed out of the shows, and we're shocked by it, and now it's in the lawyer's hands.
So does that mean that Derek Christopher is got, like, you know, legal action against Vinny Vincent for this?
Well, that's the way it looks.
See, because that's what's confusing. It says we, and it talks about the promoter, and then it talks about Vinny Vincent, but it never really says who we are.
Right.
So who's we?
I think we is Derek. It's my guess.
So it's like this imaginary third person that's saying, don't worry, we'll get these scumbags. And it's like, well, we're really writing this about ourselves?
That's what I think.
I'm confused.
So then it gets even worse. And then, so then people are like, oh my God, you know, so like most people with a brain in their head are like, well, here we go again.
That coming.
Yeah, more of this from Vinny. And, you know, look, I will happily put blame on Derek for a good portion of this, because he's pretty awful promoter, and he's misled people, and he owes people a lot of money and a lot of things.
But let me say this real quick. You know, when you say people with the brain in their head, that's not to say, you know, people are stupid because they're fans of Vinnie Vincent. You know, your heart loves what it loves, you know.
Yeah, I get that.
If somebody's a huge fan of something and they want it so freaking bad that they've been willing to put themselves through this, even though there's a good chance of it going sideways on them, that they still went through with all of it because they wanted it so bad, you know, it's easy to say, well, that's dumb, you know.
Well,
but from the other side of that is, you know, man, that sucks. That sucks for you because you were the most hardcore, most dedicated Vinnie Vincent fan, and here you are getting shit on again, you know. And I don't want to necessarily go out and say these people are dumb or this
stupid.
I'm not
saying they're dumb, but at this point, and there are several of his fans that I've seen online that are still, and like, I'll read his attorney, Vinny's attorney, put a statement out last night.
Which one?
Yeah, the one he has now.
Okay, is this a different one than the classic era of Vinnie Vincent?
Different lawyer.
Okay. That's funny when you talk about like classic eras of Vinnie Vincent lawyers.
But we should get the other side of this. So,
okay.
This came out last night. Oh, it says, for immediate release, I represent Vinnie Vincent on or about January 28th, Mr. Epachian, I'm just going to say Derek Christopher because that's his real last name.
Okay.
The promoter of the Nashville shows issued a statement regarding Vinny and the cancellation of the show scheduled for February 8th and 9th. His statement fails to fully disclose the facts surrounding the cancellation, mischaracterizes the circumstances leading to such cancellation, and is libelous to Mr. Vincent and his brand name. 2 weeks ago, we notified Mr. Christopher that his failure to make the final agreed-upon contractual payment to Vinny was a breach of the performance agreement for the Nashville shows. The promoter's failure to pay the full amount of the contractual payment in a timely manner was fully within the promoter's control, and there was no valid justification for Derek to make the payment at a later date that came and went. Derek then informed us he would not make the payment as he did not believe Vinny would appear at the performances.
I can get that.
There was no basis for this belief, and his actions were a default in the contract. Vinny was always willing to perform the subject shows and was looking forward to it with great excitement. In fact, it was agreed by all that he would perform a full shred show if a suitable singer subject to Vinny's approval could not be found. We left the door open for the promoter to remedy the payment situation and move ahead. Instead, he chose to suddenly suspend ticket sales and cancel the show voluntarily. Vinny is disappointed for the fans as they mean everything to him. He is also excited about the future, performing a show the fans deserve, and we are committed to finding the right promoter to bring him to the fans again. In the meantime, Vinny will fight to preserve his standing with his loyal fans around the world.
Wow.
So it's a total he said, she said thing, I think.
And again, we're just reporting the news here. You know, our opinions are just that. But, man, that seems like a total catch-22. So put yourself in the shoes of Derek Christopher. You know, and he's got to put this money down. That's him putting a gamble on the fact. That's the way promoters work, right? You put all this time and all this money into a show or an event, and then if it pays off in the end and you make some money, and hopefully that's the way it works, and that's a great event.
Right.
But it's a gamble every time, right? That's why promoters all rip their hairs out all the time. And
I wouldn't know.
I'm
a low-caliber amateur.
They pace a lot, yeah, in my experience. But to be able to do that, say, I don't know a perfect example, but I don't know, maybe like you're about to go buy a whole shitload of pipe and drape and pay some armed security guards, but then you get that feeling right then and there like, oh man, you know, if I spend this money, I don't get it back.
Yeah.
And if, you know, said person doesn't come through on their end, this money's gone.
I know. This sounds very familiar.
Man, I know. It rings a bell totally, like we lived it or something.
Yeah,
but
kind of did.
It, you know better than anybody how difficult that is, you know, so you can't really fault them for that. I'm not going to put down a shit ton of money and rely on Vinnie Vincent. No way, you know, not after what we've seen so far. But then on the other hand of that is, are these guys in bed together all along? Was this all just a big scheme?
No, I don't think that. And like, I don't like to critique Derek as a promoter because I'm also in the same line, but I will just from an outsider's perspective, this is the only thing I'm going to take up for Vinny on. There was like no promotion being done at all for this thing.
Zero.
Like there was just it just was silent,
right?
And there wasn't a lot of goodwill effort to keep the people that had bought tickets happy. It was just a lot of silence on not returning emails to people.
I've seen some of our friends that are huge fans of Vinny Vincent and were in on this since they announced the shows for Memphis.
And they got screwed royally.
And wanting to know, you know, well, at least tell us what's going on.
Right.
You know, everything's up in limbo.
And
I don't know if I should get my hotel. I don't, you know, we just went through this with Memphis. Please, you know, just tell us what's going on.
That is not on Vinny.
And no response.
And that's not on Vinny. That's on Derek. Like, as a promoter, that's his job.
But what do you say to people? Vinny Vincent's crazy and I don't know what's going on?
And that may be the case behind the scenes, which, you know, I certainly dealt with that firsthand with, you know, the silence that comes from him where you don't really know how to relay information. But that's the reason I broke ties when I did, because it was just like, well, it's just too iffy.
Right.
But
good thing you didn't have a contract.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah. Boy, that contract really worked out good in this case, didn't it? Hope everybody enjoyed the show. But no, I give Derek blame on that, like, because like if I was Vinny as the artist and seeing nothing being done, I probably would. But that's all supposing that.
Sure, that's a half-half thing.
That you're
again
dealing
there too.
With an artist that is really plugged in on this,
right? So you go to them and be like, okay, I'm about to spend the money on the posters and the advertisements and this and that. You know, are you ready for this? Well, you know, I don't know.
And
know,
I just...
Like, wait a minute. Yeah. You know, I need to know 100%. Are you in? Because if you're in, I'm throwing the money down and we're going to go balls to the wall.
Right.
I don't know.
But that's
know.
The thing is, the mountain of history with this guy and promoters and backing out of things or finding loopholes to get out of things or lobbying deeper obligations on the promoter than they were initially told, asking for more money.
Yeah.
This is all, and those of you, some of you listening that are just plain fans, and that's fine, and I get it, but you have to understand there's a long history of this behavior, and it goes back way before Derek Christopher.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking decades. And I had to experience it firsthand before I believed it. Maybe that's the way some people just have to learn. They want to believe till the very last day. And sorry for the anyone with a brain in their head comment. I'm pissed off because of just watching this guy take advantage of people. And maybe this is on Derek. It could be the case, but I'm sorry, but you have to look at the common denominator after enough of this.
History
stuff.
Says. You know, a little bit of both, I'd say.
Yeah, I think they deserve each other. I think there's a lot of bad on both sides.
And that stinks, too, because there's a lot of really good promoters out there.
Sure.
But then you got guys like this that are making bad names for everybody else.
Yeah.
Just like there's a lot of great musicians out there that want to meet their fans, that want to do shows, that would love for you to come see them play live.
Yeah.
And this gives them bad names,
too.
And
here's my take, and this is just me playing Monday morning quarterback. even if this is true, if, you know, Derek didn't come through with the final payment or whatever in time, if I'm Vinnie Vincent at this point with all the history behind me and all the rumors and all the stories, and this is supposed to be my big comeback show, the only way to satisfy your fan base and help garner continued business after this is to go ahead and do the show and deal with the legal part of it later.
Yeah.
Honestly, the people that believed enough in you to stick with you after this Memphis cancellation and go to Nashville, they deserved it at least. And also for your reputation in the press, be like, you could even say, the promoter screwed me, but I went ahead and did this for my fans. I'll take him to court later, but I did my job. But instead, you went the other direction. Money wasn't there. I'm gone. And I'm sorry, but with your reputation at stake, you just lost yourself a whole bunch more money.
Right.
Going through with the show would have helped get your reputation a little bit more back on track.
And again, you know, I don't think it can be said enough. The people that are still there, the people that are still with him, are the last of a dying breed. They're the last of a dying breed. There's not a lot of hardcore Vinnie Vincent fans left after all this whole fiasco, because you've screwed them all over, you know? And so now you've got the last handful of the greatest fans you'll ever have.
Yeah.
And what are you doing to them?
And there's still some people that are still like, oh, I'll be there for the next one. And like, well, more power to you. But in my opinion, at this point, if you lay down money for another ticket and it doesn't happen, it's not on him anymore. It's on you. I mean, I just, at this point, you ought to know better than that. I mean, if you want to take that gamble, go ahead. But point the finger at yourself if it doesn't happen again.
Again, this is coming from a couple of guys.
We were the biggest supporters you could find.
Yeah, he used to give this guy a lot of love.
It just sucks, though, because, like, if things had worked out better, not even from doing my event, I would have still been in his corner either way. But he's basically proven every detractor correct.
There was like 2 months there where it looked like, wow, you know, things are going to be different this time.
Yeah, and that's all just been a tailspin ever since. So yeah, that's the I wonder if that's the end of the Vinnie Vincent comeback. I don't know.
Yeah, will be another 20 years, the next generation of podcasters. Well, somebody will start up a podcast with Vinnie Vincent specials.
Well, I wonder who's what promoter is going to take him on to do a show now.
I mean, seriously, if you keep up with it and you look, if you're a promoter and you even know who Vinnie Vincent is, enough to say, oh, I'd be interested in that. You have to know enough to know the history and go, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot fluorescent pink pole. No way.
He's gonna have a hard time getting a promoter, I think. So
It's too bad because there was a time when I imagined how great this comeback was going to be for Vinnie Vincent and how, you know, he could actually pull it together. We talked about it. New music from Vinnie Vincent. How great is that going to be? You know, he talked about the greatest Kiss album that never came out. Where's that?
Yeah, where's the box sets?
We'll give you 2 box sets.
Yeah, what happened to those?
You guys out there missing your box sets? Have you gotten 2 box sets yet?
I just think this guy likes to hype stuff and then just never doesn't really care about delivering it. He just likes to get people excited, I guess.
Yeah, because if he delivered on half the shit that he hyped,
it would have been cool.
It'd be great.
But now it's just a damn shame.
The Memphis shows and the Nashville shows, end of the road tour, Vinnie Vincent.
Yeah, basically. I didn't think about it that way.
There you had it. Right. 2 dates, end of the road.
Interesting.
Nice to have you back there for a minute, buddy.
All right, so we moving on from that.
Yeah, normally I'd say this would be a good time for a break, halftime, tell everybody about Facebook and Patreon and Decibel Geek TV on Facebook, but man, we're almost at the end already.
Yeah, there'll be links to all that, but obviously, you know, with all the Kiss talk, if you like all what you're hearing, you know, good casual Kiss talk, real opinions, no ass kissing, sign up for Patreon, get Torpedo Dudes with your membership.
Right.
And you get Kiss talk every week. It's fun.
If you just don't have enough Kiss podcasts in your life, you know, ours is a pretty good one.
That's a good one.
We're the best Kiss podcast.
Yes, we are.
On Patreon.
So this kind of became a Kiss New Noise.
Yeah.
You want to just call it New Noise Kiss Edition, I guess?
I guess we could do that, yeah.
Okay, yeah. What is there anything left to talk about Kiss-wise?
I think we've covered quite a bit.
Yeah, pretty much.
What's up, Peter Chris? Nobody's talking about you, man. Well, we love you. We miss you.
Maybe soon.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Might be something on the horizon.
Oh, yeah? Some big Peter Chris news coming up? Well, stay tuned for that, people.
And if you're a Patreon subscriber, you'll know what I'm talking about.
If you're a subscriber to Torpedo Dudes, then you already know.
Already know.
Wow. But, there you go. That's a plug.
But, yeah, it's going to be an interesting year for Kiss and its members. You know?
Yeah. and members of the KISS Army, like yes. you and me.
Yeah, going to be fun. Well, anything you want to finish up with?
Just say, you know what? I love KISS. I've always loved KISS. They're my favorite band. Ace Frehley rules. I'm glad to see everybody's out there getting some good attention amidst all the other crazy stuff happening, like the undercurrent and all that weird shit. But on top of it all, I mean, KISS is out there. They're on the morning news shows. They're mm-hmm. playing these kick-ass concerts. You know, the tour's kicking off. Congratulations on a good start in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. You know, awesome to see all the comments and the fans, the people that saw it and loved it. Mm-hmm. You know, Ace Frehley, like I said, is killing it right now with his band. Those guys are playing the deep cuts. I love that. You know, and it's the perfect band for Ace Frehley, especially for us as fans of the Spaceman, because they're bringing out the best in Ace.
Oh, sure.
And these last shows and things that I've seen, you know, videos posted, man, is he killing it right now.
He really is.
You know, so I'm super proud of him as well.
Yeah. And for you guys, go to the comment section of Facebook. Tell us what you think of our takes on this stuff. Tell us your take on KISS End of the Road Tour. Are you going to go? Are you not going to go? What do you think of the lip syncing? Would you rather probably sing in live? What do you think of the Vinnie Vincent situation? I want to hear from you guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's some serious stuff. And, you know, if you've been with us for a while, man, we've been right in the thick of it all along. You know, we kind of brought it on ourselves, but I guess wouldn't change a thing because it's been a real adventure with him. Yeah. And I guess this is the end. So, yeah. You know,
and if you haven't
saying goodbye to KISS, saying goodbye to Vinnie Vincent, and keep rocking, Ace.
Yeah. And with Vinnie, if you want to go back into the archives, if you're a newer listener, we've done, I think, 6 specials on Vinnie and other one side specials on him, too. So a lot of stuff, people that have worked with him over the years, some interesting stories.
You know, and yeah. I don't want us to ever come across as, you know, Tommy and Eric haters, because we didn't really talk about those two guys a lot, you know, mm-hmm. but they were kicking ass just as much as anybody else at that Vancouver show. So they deserve props for what they're doing and helping keep KISS alive. And one thing I'm really, really kind of looking forward to is, you know, you hate to see the day when KISS is gone.
Right.
But I'm really interested to see what the members of KISS do after KISS is gone. Or, what's Eric going to do? What's Tommy going to do? Are they going to start new bands? Are they going to do solo projects? What's Gene and Paul going to do? You know, is Gene going to come out with a kick-ass rock album? Is Paul going to do some jazz? I mean, what's going to happen with KISS
Stanley.
Once? Jazz Stanley. What's going to happen when KISS is gone? I'm excited for that. I want to see what these different members are going to do.
Or will KISS go, and will there be a KISS 2.0?
Or is this all just bullshit and KISS starts the next tour? Do we say farewell? Nah, we're just kidding.
Let's just hope
KISS Paul lives forever.
Yeah, hope Paul doesn't run into that guy at the car wash again who tells, you know, you guys should do another tour.
Right,
it's all car wash guy's fault.
Yep, totally.
All right.
As always, we're still lucky to have KISS.
We are. So
part of our lives.
Let's do a KISS playout song. What song you want to play by KISS to finish the show?
Oh, man. I don't know. It's kind of put me on the spot with that one. Pick a KISS song. Good Lord. I don't know.
How about this? It has to be a KISS song that Ace Frehley doesn't sing.
Oh,
really
man.
Put you on the spot.
Fits like a glove.
You want to do that one?
I don't know. I just think it's funny. Like, I just imagine Gene doing that, going, awesome. You know, let me pre-record my vocals for Fits Like a Glove.
All right, well, here's
Just pull the vocals from the original track. And isn't that his favorite song of all time?
It might be. I certainly like
Maybe
it.
Maybe I just always imagine that that's Gene Simmons'
well,
favorite
still,
song.
We haven't played that in forever. It Fits Like a Glove from Lick It Up.
Oh, with your favorite KISS guitarist.
Oh, yeah, that guy. All right, we'll see you next week.
Yeah. It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.